Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM, Port Huron.
Year.
Happy New Year
and Merry Christmas. The world has moved on, and the stores Target yesterday brought out their Valentines. Do you feel the love today? Jeez, give me a break. And things were on clearance 70%, so if you want to get to the sale, go ahead. But the world has moved on. We're in Christmas. For those on radio, WPHM, or podcast, this is Our Savior Lutheran Port here in Michigan, and we're glad you are with us in our worship for this Christmas day. Many of us love the Christmas hymns. For 30 years, I did the service that I had designed years ago. This year, it's a different one, so it's a hymn sing. So, not much of a meditation. I know it's going to disappoint Doug. But and I ran all the hymns by Doug. He likes them and he knows them. He doesn't guarantee he will sing them, but he knows them. So we're here to praise God, still celebrating the nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do want to say at the beginning of the service, and I'll try to remember during announcements, that if you're one of the few of us who still get the Times Herald, how many get the Times Herald?
Very few. Okay.
On the religion page, we've got an article. The host site is St. Paul Lutheran, Westwater Street, this Friday, January 6th. And there, for our 19th year, the Lutheran ELCA churches come together with the Episcopal family of Marysville, Port Huron. And we co-host Eucharist, Holy Communion. This was made possible by long-term discussions and votes at national level for both church bodies to enter into that kind of altar and pulpit fellowship, it is called, and relationship which recognizes that each of our ministries are Christ-centered. Our understandings of sacraments are in target. They don't have to be identical. We believe that Christ is really present in the meal. We recognize each other's sacraments. We recognize each other's ministry. That means clergy and the orders of the church, the others who serve the church professionally. So when that took place, we here in the Port Huron Marysville area began celebrating annually on Epiphany, a day in which we didn't have to take away from a Sunday service, but a Sunday, take it with an evening service. On that one day where the wise men came from afar, they were not Jewish, they had no links to this Old Testament, but they found their unity in the baby Jesus. And that's where our unity is. So with that, we're at St. Paul on Friday night, January 6th. 6 p.m. is a potluck. St. Paul's has been gracious to say we can have a potluck at their facility. So if you want to be in the fellowship part of the potluck, at 7 o'clock, though, is the worship. If you wish to be part of the joint choir of our churches, they will rehearse on Wednesday night. And I'll get you the time if you desire to have that. So, but we've been doing this for 19 years. The host site this year is Lutheran because last year it was at the Episcopal Church, Grace. And then the preacher is one of the other denomination, which will be Lydia over there at Grace Episcopal. And we brought in Jason, if you've been at First Presbyterian.
It's funny.
I know we're on radio. We have fellowship with the Presbyterians. We have fellowship with the Episcopals. They don't have fellowship with each other. We are at the link that brings them together. That's kind of a neat position to be in. So Jason, as part of the Reformed tradition, he co-celebrates with us as well. So it's a nice ecumenical service. So please join us if you've never been there. It's always hard to get Lutherans to get off site, but if you can do it, please do so. It's a good time. Our worship this day, special order as I indicated, hymns sing primarily. No Eucharist this day. So, angels, not you, we have heard on high. If you'll please rise, we sing. We gather this day to worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We do a litany for those on radio of joy. It's from Psalm 98. Sing a new song to the Lord. He has done wonderful things. Sing for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Praise him with songs and shouts of joy. Clap your hands, you hills, sing together with joy before the Lord, because he comes to rule the earth. He will rule the peoples of the world with justice and fairness. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we join with your people around the world and with the saints and the angels in your presence to celebrate the birth of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. As we listen to the story of our Lord's birth, retold in joyful songs, fill our hearts with wonder at the gift of the Savior, the Word made flesh. Bless the children. Joyful news of Jesus' birth in word and song. Hear our prayers and accept our praise. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, the Child of Bethlehem. Amen. And if you'll please be seated. As we go through the service for the day, we front load the sermon so you enjoy the singing without interruption. But reflecting on God's word and the birth and nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is a sermon outline on your inside back cover. It uses the lessons which would be appointed for the liturgy and worship service for the first Sunday of Christmas. It refers to an Isaiah text. It refers to a Hebrews text. It refers to the second chapter of Matthew, where the wise men come, which we celebrate on Epiphany, looking for a child, knowing that Herod gives instruction to come back, but he only wants to kill the kid. He's a scoffer. He's not a believer. So the theme is finding the one promised, a needle in a haystack. Finding the one that was promised. It's like finding a needle in a haystack. There are a lot of people at the time of Jesus who said they were Messiah. You may not know that, but historically it's a fact. He was not the only one to have claimed to have special visions, insights, and spoke for God. He was one of many. The audience that he addressed probably were as confused as anybody could be in their values, their understanding, and what they wanted to hear, and therefore take to themselves a prophet to follow. But this Jesus was set apart different. Already from the Old Testament, the idea, the sense that he will recount the gracious deeds of our God. Jesus did not come on this earth to pump himself up. Like the Philippian text will say, he humbled himself and became obedient as a servant, even to the point of giving his life unselfishly to die on a cross for a death he didn't owe. He did it for us. He did not do it for himself. In the Hebrews passage, we're reminded that God takes these actions for us. This was not some kind of payoff or reward God got by sending his son to us. It was love, pure and simple, when his child landed here in this earth. To do his ministry for those 3 decades at least, to walk among us, to teach us God's ways. Now, like I said, historically, we know there were many. Yesterday in Walmart, going through the checkout, there's a National Geographic publication. I'm not selling it. It cost $16, so I put it back in the display. It's called Jesus and the Origins of Christianity. As I scanned the article as quick as I could in the line till I was up to the cashier, it's like they don't really indicate how confusing it was in the days of Jesus. It's almost like the camera and the light focuses on him because of where we are historically. But in fact, there were many. But one distinctive voice. One word above the crowd. One person who distinguished himself, not for a go get me. You know, you look at our political leaders and all the squabbling of this last week with the Soviet Union and who's playing who and what's the reward for this? What's the payoff? With Christ, you don't have to do that. He does not have a hidden agenda. It's pure and simple who he is, what he stands for. You're either for him or against him. He's for you. You for him. And he makes it that simple. He doesn't try to manipulate us. He loves us as we are, but as we always add, he doesn't leave us there. He's in a world of changing us to our last breath. That's the nature of him, the nature of the Holy Spirit. That is the work of the Holy Spirit, to change us. Some of us are a little more difficult to change, right? Not always easy to give up the old ways. Hey, tried and true. That's the way I learned it. Nah, how about backing off? Step back and let God's Spirit rule our lives, our minds. And of course, when the wise men come, you've heard the saying, it's on a lot of Christian jargon, it's wise men still seek him, implying our generation. Not just saying, well, that was a nice historical event, three men on a journey, they had the weekend off. Hey, let's go pack up the camels. Let's go for a ride. Nah. They were calculating, triangulating. Where would this event take place? Then set their course to go there. And when they were within the vicinity, because there was no GPS, they went to Herod because they heard that he was the king of the Jews, which by Roman law and decree, Pontius Pilate appointed him because he bought the office. Pure and simple. And so you go to the source, go to the king of the Jews and find out where this baby is going to be born. And Herod says, I don't know what you're talking about. So he calls in his scholars, his researchers, his astronomers, calculates Bethlehem. So you go there and honor the baby king, come back. I'm not going to waste my time. But if you find that he is the one, come back, tell me, so I can worship him too. Yeah, right. Kill the kid. No contender for his throne. I mean, he beheaded John the Baptist. He does not really take to respect anybody who challenges his authority. So, the wise men continued their journey. They found the Christ. They honored him with symbolic gifts that we now understand. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Talking about his future life, this baby, his suffering, his death. Already in the baby, he's got a full life ahead of him. But it's not going to be easy. Now, where's the king? It's like playing a shell game, right? Where's the king of the Jews? Where is God's child with all these contenders, imposters, and charlatans? Here he is, humanity. He is Christ the Lord. He is the Word made flesh, as we proclaimed on Christmas Eve. He is the one who brings salvation and light, as Isaiah 9 promised, to a world in darkness. And to our own personal darkness. Needle in a haystack, but a light beaming down to show us where he is. Amen. Our service continues then. When we talk about the reality of the story of the first Noel, I don't know what time of the season in 2016 for you, you noticed the first Christmas decorations. Was it before Halloween? Yeah, because, hey, Halloween's getting to be a profitable time, but Christmas is more profitable. So more pushing it. Christmas is a secular holiday. You look for definitions, all cultures, many times, and if they're in harmony with the rest of us, they'll say, yeah, it's a festival, it's not religious. It's a civil day. Everybody gets it off, whether they're people of faith or not. They get paid for it, so why not take it off? But the reality is, it is a special day, and it always will be, because God has entered our time and our space. In the context of that reality, we get ready for the hymn, the First Noel. Now, the First Noel, when I was about 10 years old, I was taking organ lessons with my two brothers. We had private lessons in our house. And my brother Bob said to me, he says, "What does the word Noel mean?" It is a Latin word. It also comes out of the French language. It means Christmas. I think more and more people are catching on what Noel means. It is an older hymn. Comes out of the Roman Catholic hymn writer, as you know from the previous services, the way I did those services. The First Noel is about the first coming of Jesus Christ. It's an old, old hymn. And it speaks about angels in the heavens declaring and singing, shepherds, wise men, and angels, that Christ has been born. We sing the hymn.
Thank you.
second part of the first Noel. The emphasis, as you heard the words that we sung, had to deal with a star. Our Christmas program a few weeks ago had the old star and the new star. Katie was the old star. You can tell just looking at her. And then having Jenna Marie as the new star. Stars were signs of revelation from the heavens. They pointed directions, though. You know, if I'm standing out in the field, I don't see a direction coming from a star. I don't get it. But the idea that a star led the shepherds, led the angels, led the wise men, you can't miss it. A light external to humanity was showing us the way to the way of life in the baby Jesus. And so that carol that we sing in the Christmas time is certainly an important one that tells us about the story of the coming of the Christ among us. Now, we in the manger, I don't know what a crib does to you when there's a baby inside, but when I've looked over it for my four kids, it's a time of, you almost feel like you have to say something, but they're infants. They don't know words or formulations. Sometimes people kind of hum a tune. Sometimes they just gawk. And sometimes they just pray at a new baby. Martin Luther was credited as Martin Luther's cradle song. Historically, that's not true. In the 19th century, 1800s, another man wrote it in Germany. And maybe just to honor Martin, it was the 400th anniversary of Martin Luther. This year is the 500th anniversary. Maybe that's why it got the name Martin Luther's Cradle Hymn. But Away in a Manger tells the story. And it's one that's, you know, it's not loud, it's not boisterous. It's one like you'd sing to a child. We sing the hymn, Away in the Manger. One of the beautiful things about Away in the Manger, it's not highly theological. It's not subject to a lot of scrutiny or criticism. But it is what we would call relational. It is a relationship of a parent, an adult to a child. and to not just me or my child, as the verse says, to all the dear children in thy tender care. For God's kingdom is bigger than I can see. His desire for peace among all nations is beyond our understanding. But it's God who is in charge. Hark the herald angels sing. Another one of the familiar carols of the church, of the Christian family, as well as the secularist. It's a song that certainly speaks to us about a message, a proclamation, delivered by messengers. I don't know if you've ever done a study about angels. I have, from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Billy Graham, 30 years ago, wrote a book about angels. And any of you read that one? In the course of things, angels in the scriptures portray themselves in many different ways. We have the artistic effect of the wings. Please know, that is not the only presentation of scripture. In the book of Genesis, when the proclamation is that Abraham will have a child, which was not possible biologically to Sarai, it were in the form of humans who walked on the earth, did not fly and hover over him and scare the crap out of him. They were people that God used. Angeloi, the Greek word for angel, is one who is a messenger. One who bears tidings, a message to communicate. So it doesn't have to be six-winged, eight-winged. During the Babylonian captivity, approximately 800 BC, when Israel was in captivity to the world power of Babylon, the Hebrew people picked up another image that has stuck in the scriptures that wasn't there prior in their history. Six-winged seraphim, cherubim, you know, it's in their hymns. We get these pictures in the stained glass, all these multiple wing structures growing out of these bodies. That was a Babylonian concept. Doesn't mean it's wrong, but it was added to the Hebrew view of who an angel was. When angels are addressed in the New Testament, no wings are necessarily described. Matthew describes, as you heard in the text of Advent, when Joseph woke up, an angel had communicated to him, he shall call the son Jesus Yeshua. There is no description of the physical shape or form. In the book of Revelation, last book of the New Testament, there are some indication of possibly multiple wings, but it's usually just simply the messenger. They are bearing a message. This one is, the newborn baby is worthy to give God your glory and praise. We sing.
Oh,
this particular one of the Christmas songs repertoire, so to speak, is one that's a little bit different. It's not as calm, sedating, like Away in the Manger, but let's go through this. This is what we would call a creedal hymn. Statements of belief. You know how we have the Apostles' Creed? You know how we have the Nicene Creed, the Athanasian Creed? Thank you. And the reality is we make statements of faith all the time, okay? So if you go through the language of the hymn, you will see statements of belief, okay? Hark the herald angels sing, peace on earth, good mercy, my triumph of the skies. Christ is born in Bethlehem. The highest heavens, his glory to the newborn king. Late in time, he comes. He's offspring of a virgin's womb. We affirm the virginness of Mary as mother of Jesus. Veiled in the Godhead, he is the incarnate, creedal statement about who this Christ is, not just man. And he was man, but more than that, Emmanuel, which in the Old Testament language, as we heard during Advent, Emmanuel means God is with us. Okay? So another statement of faith of who this Christ is. He's born as Prince of Peace. We heard that Advent language just 2 weeks ago. He shall be called this child, Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And upon his kingdom shall reign forever peace. Light and life to all he brings. John's Gospel, first chapter, where he says, in him was life. He was the light of the world. This particular hymn incorporated all the creedal statements of the Christ in a form and a fashion that we can sing and gives glory to God. And certainly the promise that he will give us a new birth in the resurrection. Amen. We go on now to the reading of the gospel, I believe, correct? Little different fashion. Gary, go ahead. What were you going to? I have divided you. Okay, you're going to read the gospel that we have here? Okay. You got it. The one from Luke 2. Okay, you have the lectionary. I've got two other lectors. I appreciate it, Gary. When we chose this service is a different fashion. You had the right one till I made that decision. So we have John Wilds and we have Scott Pike. Thank you, Gary. Didn't know that those were male. Familiar story, but maybe different when you hear two different voices reading. I hope.
Today's reading comes from Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was his child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place at the inn.
And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.
When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that they had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all the things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. The word of the Lord.
The next Christmas carol hymn, dealing with the event of that night that you heard read from Luke's gospel, is one about the presentation of the announcement, a birth announcement, not your typical one through email, not something you receive through a postal carrier, but no less than angels coming to your place of employment, watching sheep, to bring you message of great news. A Savior has been born for you and for the people of God. The beautiful hymn, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, we sing and then make comment on it afterwards. We sing.
Thank you.
That particular hymn is obviously a Christmas one, but one that you and I associate as Christmas is Joy to the World. We sang that at Christmas Eve, if you recall, and were with us. From the midnight and the revelation that this child was born to the shepherds, they were going to journey on the way to the stable. The hymn Joy to the World was actually written for an Easter song. You'll notice in the hymn we're going to sing, it makes no mention of a birth. It makes no mention of a baby. It mentions and is certainly popular at Christmas to us Christians because of the theme of joy. And there was joy. But the author of the carol also found joy in the resurrection. It links the two events for us. We sing the hymn, Joy to the World. As you go through the phrases of Joy to the World, there is much that we Christians have to be thankful for in our God. It starts from the birth of nativity, but it goes way beyond it where most people stop with Jesus on this day and for the festival of Christmas. We know as people of faith, it's a story of salvation. The heavens, the earth, they proclaim it. We repeat it. The joy, the sounding joy. Because our sins are forgiven, there'll be no more. He comes to make his blessings flow. He takes away the curse. He rules this world with truth and grace. He makes the nations prove themselves. For the glories of his righteousness, the wonders of his love, give to his people joy. Simple three-letter word, joy. At this time, we receive our gifts for the work of the Lord's church. Those who may have turned on the broadcast in the middle, you may not have heard. This Friday night, the Lutheran community, the Episcopal community, and First Presbyterian join us sharing Eucharist. Three denominational bodies in a harmony. On Sunday, January 15th, we will exchange pulpits. The pastor over at St. John United Church of Christ will preach here at both services. I will be preaching at St. John's. Why is this happening? Well, it's not a new concept. We have been in fellowship with these brothers and sisters of faith for roughly 20 years, and we haven't acted on it. 20 years is a long time for a concept to settle down and do something. So I had asked Dick if he would like to exchange, and we are in altar and pulpit fellowship as we are with the Episcopalians and the Presbyterian. It's just that they're not in fellowship with each other. So we can cross the line and build bridges. So Dick will be here, welcome guest. We will provide the liturgists and the assisting ministers. He will preach, bring us God's word. I have been at St. John's to do two funerals there a few years ago, so I'm familiar with their setting. He's been in our building for meetings, but it'll be his first time to be in the pulpit. For me, it'll be a second time to be in the pulpit over there. So it is a good thing. So it is the beginning of what we call the week of prayer for Christian unity. Every year that week comes up, we've done nothing to distinguish it. This year we will. We need unity in the Church of Jesus Christ. None of this spitting and throwing rocks at each other. It's time to heal. Time to get on with it. The mission is before us. So we take the actions. So please join us Friday night. If you wish to be part of the choir for that worship service for Epiphany, that's Wednesday night. I think we have to reconsider, I'll talk to the trustees and altar guild, such as when we will undecorate our church. We always do it after Epiphany, but with Epiphany being Friday, that would make it January 11th, which is pretty far removed, so we may have to do it this Wednesday. We'll keep you appraised. Okay, so we'll make decisions as appropriate. Many things in your bulletin, but you got a newsletter, I hope. If not, they are at both doors. Pick it up if the post office, because of holidays, didn't get it to you. Get your newsletter. They're down at the landing. They're here in the sanctuary. Many things to watch and check in on information about the ministry of this congregation. At this time, we stand as the offering is presented. We sing the doxology. Praise God.
Us. You came as a baby to a manger. You slept on straw and greeted shepherds. You come again in bread and wine. Remind us how good you are at blessing ordinary things. And then through these gifts, help us to bless the lives of others in the strength of your holy name. Amen.
Amen. The story of Silent Night, probably by now you've heard it. The minister is actually a Roman Catholic priest in a small country setting church in Germany. He actually composed the words, the musician there at the church who was a guitarist. He played the music and wrote the music for Silent Night. It has been a standard in the tradition of our Savior, we use it when we light the candles during the Christmas Eve candlelight service. A quiet night, but a night of revelation and a gift to be received, we sing, page 13.
Been listening to the Sunday morning worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church. Begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.